Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I will be recapping the Naismith Basketball Class of 2025 induction ceremony. I'll be recapping, I'll go through all the folks that were inducted, and I'll talk a little bit about their speeches and all those sort of things. Also, who's next? We'll talk about 2026, who could possibly be on the ballot for the Hall of Fame. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, what a weekend. It was a time to be had in Springfield, Massachusetts. And like I said, your boy was up in there. I wasn't there Friday for the Hall of Fame, the jacket ceremony where, you know, they got fitted with their jackets. Of course, each person had the lining inside to represent their school, their teams, so on and so forth. So that was a beautiful ceremony for all those there. And then, of course, the culmination, Saturday, the actual ceremony itself. So, like I said, I rolled up in there. Only thing, guys, I sure looked at my ticket because I go to the actual Basketball Hall of Fame, Naismith. And, of course, when I get there, it's as dead as a doorknob. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? Go inside, and they say, yes, the ceremony's at the Symphony Hall, which is on the, not on the other side of town. It's about a mile away. But they had shuttle buses that were leaving from the Hilton Hotel. So I had to hustle to the Hilton and get the shuttle bus, which I got one all by myself, luxury bus too. Got it all to myself, and they dropped me over there. So this delayed me a bit in getting there. So I got there maybe about 20 minutes before the ceremony began. So, of course, you have to go through layers of security and all those sort of things. Then once I got to the area, I saw they had the tent outside set up for pre-ceremony interviews and whatnot. Of course, they talked to every single inductee just about outside. So there you had that. But nonetheless, as far as the event itself, it was great, the event, of course, but you know, it's becoming more kind of fan driven, if you will. It's, I guess they let out more tickets for fans and all that sort of stuff. I was in the loge area, which was off to the left, right above where the Hall of Famers, you know, the current ones and the ones to be inducted, I was just above them. So that was my seating there. So you'll probably see it from some of the clips that I share. So, yeah, so I was able to see the hustle and the bustle, everybody hobnobbing and rubbing elbows and that sort of stuff. So got to see that. And in the area I was in, it must have been Billy Donovan's people, because when he got called up, you know, that section where I was at went crazy. So must have been some Long Island folks there. So there you have that. But nonetheless, a great event. And like I said, I'll go through each of the inductees and talk a little bit about what you said and all those sort of things. So without any further delay, let's get into it. the night started off with, and it's funny because if you go on YouTube, they have the full ceremony, but they have it kind of out of order. So when I was sitting there, this is the order that I saw. Sylvia Fowles was the first person to be inducted. Sylvia Fowles, of course, Miami, Florida native, LSU All-American. She led them to 3 Final Fours, dominant, big. And she goes into the WNBA, second pick overall. She's in the same draft with Candace Parker. She spends 15 seasons in the W. Half of that with Chicago, the other half with Minnesota. So Chicago Sky, she starts out with, then she goes to the Minnesota Lynx. A two-time champion. She's also, get this, a two-time finals MVP, guys. A league MVP, by the way. Also, defensive player of the year. She got that 4 times. 8-time All-Star, 11 times All-Defense. So you're talking about a two-way player. And I was saying this on social media. I would put her in the top 5 centers as far as to play in the W. So that's how good she was. And also, guys, she won 4 Olympic gold medals as well. So Sylvia Fowles, well-deserved honor, obviously. And her presenters were Lindsey Whalen and Katie Smith, both of them teammates of hers with the Minnesota Lynx. And being the first one to go, you know, there's always a bet to be made. Who's the first one to cry? So she lost the bet because she got up there. You know, she was emotional, very emotional speech, and a very good speech. The highlight for me in her speech was the motto she's been given from her parents, her mom, and then from coaches alike: nothing given, everything has to be earned. And that's how she conducted herself. She's like a gentle giant, if you will, you know, very soft spoken off the court. On the court, ferocious man. Definitely a two-way player who can get it done. And did so with, mind you, she went to a Minnesota Lynx team that already had Lindsey Whalen, the point guard, running the show. You had Maya Moore, her teammate, who's to be inducted on the same day. You had Simone Augustus, inductee from last year. And someone I think is very underrated, Rebecca Brunson, one of those glue players that you need, any championship ball club needs. So that's the situation that Sylvia Fowles walked into going to Minnesota, but I digress. But yeah, so that was my takeaway from her. You know, she gave all the props to all the coaches, all the teams she was involved with, the teammates, so on and so forth. And of course, she gets to Minnesota. She says, man, we did the thing. So, so bigging up her Minnesota Lynx people there. But again, very emotional speech, very heartfelt speech by Sylvia Fowles. Let us continue. Next up was Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard out of Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, we know he went straight to the NBA coming out of Southwest Christian Academy, a school he went to all his life. So from, first grade on up, he was at this school. So There you go there. His presenters were Robert Parrish, who, as he noted, his grandmother's favorite player, Robert Parrish. Dominique Wilkins, who made an early impression on him as a youngster. Dominique Wilkins, of course, longtime Atlanta Hawk. So, you know, he goes to the different schools and areas and whatnot. And, of course, he made a big impression on Dwight Howard. Patrick Ewing, who was a coach, assistant coach with those Orlando Magic teams that he played with, and a mentor as well, someone he looks up to. And then Shaquille O'Neal. And guys, you know and I know there was beef between those two, all because of the Superman nickname. And he blamed Soulja Boy, because you know Soulja Boy had the song, you know, the popular song. But he blamed it on him. I blame it on Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith's the one at the dunk contest, because, you know, he put on the cape and everything. Superman is in the building, much to the chagrin of Shaquille O'Neal, who always labeled himself Superman. But Dwight Howard, being the bigger person here, invites Shaq. Mind you, it was supposed to be Dennis Rodman who was the presenter. Not many people realize this. It was supposed to be Dennis Rodman, but Dennis Rodman couldn't make it. So in a pinch, he approached Shaquille O'Neal, and Shaquille O'Neal accepted. So there you have that. I did want to play sound from Shaquille O'Neal. Dennis Johnson actually caught him on his way in. So I'm going to try and pull that up, some of the sound, if I could. Give me 1 second. It's here, because I had just watched it. I was like, oh boy, here he goes. But this is going to be the sound here. This is Dennis Johnson. You know, he's part of NBA TV, and he's approaches Shaq as Shaq makes his way in. So I want you guys to take a listen to this. I'm going to try and get it to where I want it. Oh, hold on a second.
Why are you wearing this blazer, big fella? Mr. Clean has just stepped in the building.
Why am I wearing this blazer?
Why are you wearing this blazer, big fella?
Because I'm finally giving flowers.
You're finally giving flowers to who?
It's a Dwight Howard.
How big is that?
It's big for him, it's big for his family, it's big for the Big Man Alliance, of which I am the reigning president. That's right, Nate. It's big. I'm happy for him.
And how good is it for you guys to kindly nip it in the bud? You guys are understanding your team going into the Hall of Fame?
It wasn't that we had a problem. You know my leadership style. I learned it from you. I'm hard on guys and motivated. Some people can take it, some people can, but when we met, I told him it's never hard feelings. I just did that to make him angry. Never made him angry. He played well, so.
Mr. Clean has just...
Okay, so that's what Shaq said in terms of his beef with Dwight Howard. Sometimes I thought Shaq took it too far, but you know, I'm not alone in that camp. So there you have that. But nonetheless, Dwight, he pretty much equated it to a sibling rivalry, and there you have that. So in Dwight Howard's speech, he chronicles inspirations for him, you know, big men who inspired him. Bill Russell, of course, everyone can make that statement as far as Bill Russell goes. He is the grandfather, if you will, of the big men. Also, Dikembe Mutombo, he cited him doing the finger wag as well in the voice. Kareem, who he calls his GOAT, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Of course, we wish sending well wishes to Kareem. You know, he's have He's been having his health struggles, so we wish all the best to him. And Dennis Rodman, he also highlighted a guy who was a relentless rebounder, of course. But Dwight Howard, of course, you know his speech is going to be fun-filled, and that it was. I mentioned the Soulja Boy thing. Stan Van Gundy, he gives high praise to Stan Van Gundy. He said, it's because of you that I'm in the Hall of Fame, the way Stan Gundy pushed him to be great. And he also did the impressions of Stan Van Gundy. It was spot on too, by the way. But he did chronicle what Stan Van Gundy would always tell him. Stay ready at all times because, hey, you never know. So there you have that. And then also, too, in acknowledging his family, his wife, who happened to be Amber Rose, he said not the one we know about, you know, the ball. He said not the ball-headed one. That was really funny, I must admit. But yeah, so there you go there. But Dwight Howard, 18 years in the league, guys. Started out, of course, number one overall pick with the Orlando Magic. Then he makes stops in L.A., Los Angeles Lakers, where he would win a championship. Also, guys, he spent time in Houston, the Charlotte Hornets, also the Atlanta Hawks. He spent a year there, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Washington Wizards. Eight-time All-Star, eight times All-NBA, five times All-Defense, guys. Also, three times Defensive Player of the Year. So there's that. I mentioned the championship. And then also two guys, he led the league in rebounds five times and then blocks twice. And we know also after he wasn't able to join the roster here, he went overseas to play in China, Taiwan, and those places. So Dwight Howard into the Hall of Fame. So there you have that. He was number two on the list. Then we go to Mickey Arison, the owner of the Miami Heat. He took full ownership in 1995, guys. Mickey Arison coming from Tel Aviv, Israel. He's also the chairman and CEO of Carnival Corporation, of course, Carnival Cruises and those things, which he was there from 1979 to 2013. And in Mickey Arison's first move and most substantial move that's still paying off till this very day is when he hired Pat Riley, taking him away from my New York Knicks, unfortunately. Mind you, the Knicks wouldn't offer Pat Riley what Mickey Arison offered them. Now, you could imagine if that offer was made and he stayed in New York as opposed to going to Miami, we'd be talking a whole different story. Maybe multiple championships, who knows? But that's a story for another day. My life as a Knicks fan. But I digress. Let's continue. So his presenters were indeed Pat Riley, Alonzo Mourning, who he chronicles as the foundation of Heat culture, and Dwayne Wade, who he considers the greatest Miami Heat player. And I don't think anybody can make an argument going the other way. Dwayne Wade is the quintessential Miami Heat. So there you have it. He said he never sought out to be a Hall of Famer. And he gives a tremendous amount of credit to Pat Riley. I'll come back to that in a minute. And also in attendance, of course, Shaquille O'Neal, who was a Miami Heat at the time. Well, you know, a one-time Miami Heat. And then also in attendance was Udonis Haslem. And besides Dwayne Wade, Haslem is the only other Miami Heat player to be part of the three championship teams that they've built over there. So there you have that. He spent 20 years with the Miami Heat, by the way. So Mickey Arison says this is not an individual award. It may be an individual award, but it can't happen without contributions from others. And then he talked about future Hall of Famers who've played for the Miami Heat. He mentions LeBron, and LeBron is in attendance. Oh, by the way, Dwight Howard ended up shouting out LeBron, and little did he know LeBron was in attendance. I don't know why he didn't think that, because of the Redeem team being honored, but there you have that. But nonetheless, Mickey Arison mentions LeBron James and also Eric Spoelstra, who was in attendance as well there, as Mickey Arison gets his honors. And he says that Eric Spoelstra one day will be in the Hall of Fame. And I agree wholeheartedly. He will one day be in the Hall of Fame. Make no mistake about it. You win two championships and you coach one of the greatest big three the game has ever seen, he'll make it in. And he has taken teams with lesser talent to the finals. So he'll be in, and make no mistake about it. But Mickey Arison is no longer the – oh, also, he served as chairman of the NBA Board of Governors. He had a three-year stint doing that, guys. So there you have that. Now he has turned things over to his son, Nick Arison, who's now the one in the catbird seat as far as all things Miami Heat. So there you have that. Now, one of his final things he said was, it is my firm belief that team owners should rarely be heard from. So when he said that, and I heard him give the kudos to Pat Riley, it made me automatically shift to another sport and another owner, Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, who, of course, we know he ran Jimmy Johnson out of being the coach there. He, in his mind, anybody could coach this team. So he brings in a Barry Switzer, who ends up, he gets a championship there, but that was all. That was it. That was all. So, and ever since, Jerry's been chasing that elusive ring for over 30 years now. So there you have that. But nonetheless, Mickey Arison, when he said that, it hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, some of these owners that put themselves out there and not let the basketball people be the front people. So there you go. Just thought I'd bring that up. But Mickey Arison in the Hall of Fame. Let us continue. Maya Moore. This was the one I was waiting for, to be honest with you. Her speech. Coming out of being born, rather, Jefferson City, Missouri. She's born there, but raised in Sewanee, Georgia. In fact, she would go back and forth. I chronicled this when I did a player profile on her. But her presenters, Lindsey Whalen, her point guard at with the Minnesota Lynx. Simone Augustus, like I said, she was inducted last year. Now she's a presenter for Maya. Gina Auriemma, her coach at UConn when she was with the UConn Huskies. Tamika Catchings and Swin Cass, both teammates of hers when she played for the Team USA in the Olympics. So there you have that. High school phenom at Collins High School, where she would amass a 125-3 record, multiple state championships. She would move on to UConn, where it's more the same guys. Two championships there in her four seasons. Two undefeated seasons, by the way, guys. She takes those talents to the WNBA, where she would spend only eight seasons, guys. But in the eight seasons, six All-Star appearances. Half of those, she's All-Star MVP. That's the kind of impact she has. Four-time champion, four championships in 8 years. Astonishing. Rookie of the year, league MVP. Seven times All-NBA, two times All-Defense. Oh, by the way, when she played overseas, multiple championships over there. And also add to that Olympic gold. She does that two times. One of the greatest winners the game has ever seen. And the first female to sign with Nike. That is Maya Moore. So, of course, she gives honor to our presenters and how, you know, they've been with her in different phases of life. And she quotes her college coach, Gino, when he said that this team fell in love with each other. That's when they won the championship, because they asked how did it happen. And that was his answer. The team fell in love with each other. And that clung to Maya. Her speech was absolutely phenomenal. She didn't really make it about herself. She said, you know, there's her tribe, which, you know, is quite vast. Of course, she mentions her husband, Jonathan, who's, you know, we know she went to bat for him when he was wrongly incarcerated. He wasn't her husband at the time it happened, guys. A lot of people say, oh, she left the game because she had to get her husband out of jail. That's the wrong wording, guys. She went to bat for this family friend. He was a family friend, first and foremost, that she went to bat for. Then upon him getting out, he said, you know what? Wait, this woman, you know, went all out for me. I got to make her my wife. So there you have that. So kudos to Jonathan and props to him. So with that said, her speech was basically, she talked about these three words that makes a championship champions who they are. Love, dedication, and trust. And she was very, I figured it'd be motivational what she said, and you have to listen to it for yourself, guys. My words can't really sum it up. But she did say, you know, don't miss out on learning from someone more experienced than you. And then in doing that, the joy of helping someone else get better. And, you know, and I'm just going to sum it up. We don't have a legacy by ourselves. The legacy we build involves, you know, working with others, being in community with others. So fantastic speech. What more can I say? So she did a tremendous job. Again, Maya Moore inducted into the Hall of Fame. So there you go. Let us move on. Danny Crawford, the referee who's inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. His presenters were Tim Hardaway and Isaiah Thomas. Crawford himself being from the Chicago area, so he's well familiar with these local legends on the basketball court, Tim Hardaway and Isaiah Thomas. He spent 32 years as a referee, 23 straight NBA finals he worked, and 30 overall. Think about that, guys. Of his 32 years in the league, he worked every finals except for two. That's a fantastic record, guys. He's refereed over 2,000 games and over 300 playoff games. So he's well respected by the players. His speech was taped, though, by the way, guys. Two takeaways for me. One, he gave honor to the late, great Darryl Gaveston, a referee also in the Hall of Fame, and the first referee that I noticed as far as a person who was fair-minded, called, you know, to take a phrase from baseball, called it straight down the middle, balls and strikes and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, and a Hall of Famer as well, like I said. And he said, refereeing is never a solo job. And he's right. It takes multiple people to referee a game, guys. In fact, now it's funny. It used to be a two-man team, but now you have three guys in there. And there you have it. But Danny Crawford getting into the Hall of Fame, and rightfully so. So there you go. All right, let us move on. The 2008 USA Olympic men's team in basketball, of course. And that team consisted of Carmelo Anthony, Carlos Boozer, Chris Bosh, Dwight Howard, LeBron James, Jason Kidd, Chris Paul, Tyshawn Prince, Michael Redd, Dwayne Wade, and Deron Williams. And of course, not in attendance, but with them in their hearts, the late Kobe Bryant. So there you have that. The coaches were just about all of them were there, except for Nate McMillan. He was not able to attend. Mike Krzyzewski, of course, the head coach. Jim Boeheim, Hall of Famer. And Mike D'Antoni there as well. And, of course, the president of operations, Jerry Colangelo. And this led to a roundtable that Ahmad Rashad, you know, he's the host of the whole night, had a roundtable with Jerry Colangelo, Coach K, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and Jason Kidd. And he asked them multiple questions. Jerry Colangelo asked him about George Raveling, who we just lost. George Raveling, a great college coach, one of the pioneers, if you will, as far as coaching black men and coaching. So, and he gave a tremendous story about him being there at the I Have a Dream speech that Martin gave, and actually he was handed the speech. So George Raveling kept it all over all these years. Where it is now, who knows? But I thought that was fascinating. And then asked, you know, when he talked about when David Stern asked him to run the 2018. He said he needed full autonomy and he needed pretty much a limitless budget, which, you know, David Stern, he, you know, when it comes to those dollars, he's, you know, he holds his purse strings tight. But, you know, for the state that the Olympic program was in, he said, you know what, I just got to give it up. So there you go. So there was that. And then he asked the guys multiple questions, Coach K, about the type of players he wanted, and then the feeling of winning the Olympic gold. He asked LeBron about playing with Kobe Bryant, and LeBron basically saying that Kobe was the missing piece they needed because of his seriousness, how he kept them accountable, and all that sort of stuff. Dwayne Wade was asked about the level of competition in practice, and he joked about how Coach K stacked the team for LeBron, giving him Kobe, Jason Kidd, Dwight Howard, and Melo. Yeah, that's a tough one there. And then Dwayne Wade had everybody else, so he joked about that. Chris Paul was asked about him remembering the gold medal game. And, of course, the one thing that stands out, I remember that this one till this day, how Kobe basically ran through Paul Gasol's chest. Mind you, they were teammates with the Lakers, but Kobe's mindset is if you're in the opposing jersey, you're the enemy. So he basically ran through his chest trying to set a pick. So that was Kobe here, all out. And then he talked about how Ricky Rubio on the Spanish team was trash talking him and Deron Williams. And then Jason Kidd was asked about being the captain and trying to keep these guys in line. He said he was just a person supplying the Gatorade. So there you go. But he felt it was important for him to impart his wisdom to the younger point guards on the team, which he did. So there you have that. So that was the round table between the some of the players and the coach and the president of the Redeem team. So there you have that. So we'll end that there. Let us continue. Just three more guys and then we're done. Billy Donovan, the coach, first a player, actually. He started out a player at Providence, playing under the, actually, it was Jim Delaney his first 2 years, and then his second 2 years was Rick Pitino, and that's where he really blossomed, guys. So Rick Pitino, he basically turned him a loose, guys. And Billy Donovan had one of the miraculous runs in the college, in like the tournament, carrying his team on his back to a Final Four. His presenters were Rick Pitino, obviously, his coach, and also he worked with him as an assistant coach, first as a graduate coach and then assistant coach, and then Maurice Cheeks, who has been by his side as an assistant coach for 9 seasons. So there you have that. And I looked this up, guys, because Billy Donovan, he ends up a college coach, coaching first at Marshall, then going to the University of Florida after 2 seasons with Marshall, 2 NCAA championships as a coach, and as an NBA coach, coaching OKC. He reached the NBA Finals with that ball club there. And then he moves from the Thunder to the Chicago Bulls. But like I said, he is the one of, they said 4, but I count 5 players to play in a 5 players to play in a Final Four and then later coach a team to win it all in the NCAA tournament. So those 5 were John Wooden, who did it when he played at Purdue. Dean Smith, he did it when he played at Kansas. Of course, Wooden wins with UCLA as a coach. Dean Smith with North Carolina. And then Joby Hall, he played for Kentucky, reaching the Final Four, and then he coached them to a championship, Joby Hall did. And then Bobby Knight, who reached the Final Four with Ohio State, and then he wins it all with Indiana. So my count was five, if you include Billy Donovan in that mix. So let us continue. So, you know, he said he's indebted to Rick Pitino for, first of all, as a player, you know, he said where Rick Pitino found him as a sophomore at Providence, he didn't leave him there. In other words, he got better, he grew, those sort of things. And then he gave a big thanks to Maurice Cheeks as well, who he, like I said, he's worked with him over the years, and he's mentored him along the way. And he gives props. I thought this was classy. He gives props to Mark Daigneault for winning the championship with Oklahoma City Thunder. They worked together as, you know, he's been an assistant with Billy Donovan. So Mark Daigneault winning it all with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then he notes that they're the only team, his Florida team, is the only team to be unranked as the season began and win the championship, and then the following season ranked number one and win the championship, thus going back-to-back, as I said. So Billy Donovan inducted into the Hall of Fame. Let us continue. Carmelo Anthony. Now, this is the speech that I was thoroughly satisfied with his Hall of Fame speech, guys. His presenters were Dwayne Wade, of course, his buddy, part of the tribe there, and then Allen Iverson. Oh, by the way, Allen Iverson strolled in there late. I caught him strolling up in there. I'm like, Iverson, you should have been here, but I digress. Anyhow, but I really enjoyed Carmelo's speech, man. Of course, we know about him. Fabulous freshman at Syracuse. Had the fantastic year where he took his team all the way to the NCAA championship. He leaves the NCAA, goes to the draft, third overall in that famous 2003 draft where LeBron goes first, Darko Milicic goes second to Toronto, and then Melo to Denver. 19 seasons in the league, guys, playing for Denver. Then from Denver to the New York Knicks. Thus why I'm wearing my Bernard King shirt. Not only King of New York, but also a Hall of Famer coming from the Knicks. And also played for Portland Trail Blazers, Oklahoma City Thunder, the Houston Rockets briefly, and then the Los Angeles Lakers is where he would play his last go around. Finished 10th all-time in scoring once his playing days was done. Very inspirational speech. Very inspirational. And he just a few nuggets that he said. You are not your zip code. You're not your last name. You're not your setbacks. You're your good vision. Work ethic. The quiet whisper that says, it's more to me in this life. Hold on to that voice. It will be tested. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, some dog, I don't know where the dog was at, some dog barks, and he plays right off it. He says, the dogs are barking. Oh, that was so funny. A place exploded with laughter. But it was like, where did that dog come from? Until now, I have no idea where that dog came from. So there you have that. He pays homage to his late dad. Beautifully said, you know, he's named after his dad, Carmelo, as well. He gives homage to his homeland, Puerto Rico. Definitely representing there. He just gave words of inspiration to young people, to dads, to moms. He talked about the different places he was at. You know, Denver is where it all started, but New York is something about New York. He says, not for the faint of heart. He's right there as far as that goes. And then he talked about his legacy. He said, legacies aren't always made in championships. It's made in consistency and the refusal to quit. I agree with that. And as he signed off, he said, when in doubt, stay mellow, of course. And that's how he signed off. Terrific speech. If you get a chance to listen to it, please go do that. And then the last person to speak was Sue Bird. Sue Bird out of Syosset, New York. I don't know if I mentioned Billy Donovan was out of Rockville Center, New York. So two Long Island players, coach, player. So opposite sides of Long Island, by the way. Whereas Billy Donovan, Nassau County kid. Sue Bird, Suffolk County kid. So there you go. Her presenters were Swin Cash, who was her teammate with UConn, roommates, the whole works. She even played with her when she got into the WNBA with the Seattle Storm. Also played with her in the Olympics as well. Gino Auriemma, of course. He's had a busy night. Two of his players gets inducted. So she played first at Syosset High School. Then she transfers to Christ the King. Of course, that is famously known for Shamika Holzclaw coming out of there. Tina Charles as well. UConn, I just mentioned, two times a champ there, playing with the likes of Diana Taurasi as well, who will one day be donning the orange jacket. Also, guys, she played 19 years in the WNBA. She missed two seasons, guys, with a knee injury in 2013 and 2019. All the time with the Seattle Storm, four championships, 13 All-Star appearances, eight All-NBAs, three times leading the league in assists, and the first WNBA player to have a statue put up in her name. So there you go. She says she wanted to be as a child, a doctor, a lawyer, a soccer player. She said why she couldn't do the first two. And then the last one, soccer player, she had to, you had to catch on to what she was saying. When she talked about a soccer player, she said she didn't become one, but she did score one. In other words, talking about her life partner, Megan Rapinoe, who obviously is a soccer player. So there you have that. But, you know, her speech, very funny too. A lot of self-deprecating humor there. Her getting on herself a bit. But funny speech, very funny speech. And she ends it. She said, this is something that point guards rarely say. Thank you for the assists and all the people who've helped her and all the things. So that was the Hall of Fame speeches, guys. All right, so there you have it. So all in all, a great event, and I enjoyed myself. Now, guys, we talk about 2026, possible candidates to be on the ballot. As far as the men go, I'm just talking players. As far as coaches, I'm not going to go there. players. From what I'm told, Blake Griffin will be eligible. Possibly a LaMarcus Aldridge, Joe Johnson, Amari Stoudemire. These could be players that could be available to be, you know, inducted, at least, you know, getting on the ballot. Some holdovers. Sean Marion, I think, deserves some consideration. Marcus Hall, I think, could end up being on the ballot. He's been away from the game long enough, guys. Bill Laimbeer, I think, and I've said it before, I think he should probably go in as a contributor, not as a player, because I think people will bristle at that notion. I think the way to get him in is as a contributor because of the him, you know, being a part of the league as a player, but also coaching and coaching in the WNBA. I think that's the way to get him into the Hall of Fame. Kevin Johnson, I'm still befuddled why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Most famously with the Phoenix Suns, his exploits there. I again say he has numbers comparable to Tim Hardaway, who's gotten in the Hall of Fame as of recent. He should be in. Marcus Johnson, I think, is another player who should be in. A star small forward in the era of small forwards. I understand how he can get lost in there, especially with the likes of a Julius Erving, Larry Bird, Alex English even, how he and Dominique Wilkins, how he gets lost in the shuffle, but he should be in. So those are my male players. As far as my female players, Candace Parker, I think, from what I'm told, she could end up on the ballot. Also, Elena Deladon can end up on the ballot as well. Both of those recently retired from the game. Jennifer Azee, when we're going to get her in, guys? She was part of the 1996, that iconic team, but she has a legacy on her own, guys, what she did at Stanford. Winning the championship there as the lead player. What are we doing? Jennifer Azee belongs in the Hall of Fame. And also, for the upteen time, I'm going to talk about this. Shamiqua Holzclaw, what in the world are we doing? One of the greatest players to ever lace them up is not in the Hall of Fame. It's befuddling to me. Shamiqua Holzclaw belongs in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. She belongs there, guys. What are we doing? So there you have that. So and that's it. I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you for listening, guys. All things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find my clips, my episodes. Support the show, guys. In the scroll, Cash App, $GD, that sports do. On the website, PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify. I got buttons there as well, guys. Support this show, guys, so I can go to outings like I did this past weekend. Also, guys, socials, I'm on all the things. Well, I'm on Instagram, TikTok for the moment, Blue Sky, some Facebook. Also, all the platforms I'm on as far as podcast platforms, Apple, leave reviews wherever you see them, YouTube, all the things. All right, guys, next time you hear from me, WNBA season wrap up. I want to talk about this Angel Reese situation. I really want to talk about that. I got strong thoughts on that. So we'll talk about that when we'll get to it. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.